I am the unknown soldier. Some call me MIA. Some say I can't go home again. Some say I chose to stay. I am the unknown soldier who you refuse to know. A brother and a friend of yours who left so long ago. Some call me POW, the one they left behind. I am the unknown soldier, the one they never tried to find. I'm the one they never tried to find. I'm a farmer from Missouri, the soldier from St. Paul. I was the hero of my family, and still my picture's upon their wall. I'm a poet and a scholar, and the boy who lived next door. I am the unknown soldier, forgotten on a foreign shore, long forgotten on a foreign shore. I was someone's loving daddy. I was someone's pride and joy. I was someone's tender lover, a worried mama's a little boy. And if you should just forget me here, then should I forget you too? Please won't you try to bring me home? For I'm someone who belongs to you. I'm still someone who belongs to you. I am the unknown soldier with no more tears to shed. I'm just a fading memory, a part of the living dead. My country has betrayed me, yet I have forgiven you. And every night I pray to God somehow he'll forgive you too. Yes, even somehow he'll forgive you too. I am the unknown soldier, the one for whom you cried. That familiar face that you can't face, the one your country told you died. I am the unknown soldier, with dreams you'll rescue me. And I am a man who understands. Only death might ever set me free. Only death might ever set me free. I am the unknown soldier, and I'm black and blue and gray. I said I am the unknown soldier, and I die slowly every day. And I'm tired, and I'm hungry, and I'm lonely, and I'm cold. I am the unknown soldier. The one you bought in soul, I'm the one you bought in soul. So lay down close beside me now, and gently stroke my face, and wrap your arms around me now, before we leave this place. Some called me POW, some called me MIA. Some say I can't come home again, but I will return someday.
White Aryan Resistance Radio calling. White Aryan Resistance Radio calling. This is White Aryan Resistance Radio, and this is Terrible Tommy right here in the bunker on this day that we commemorate every year, the day that the bastards in Washington caused the death of Robert J. Matthews, murdered him, surrounded him with over 500 troops and agents, including the United States Navy, and burnt him alive. Well, that's one thing. He coined or penned a declaration of war against the system. Well, that has never been rescinded. That declaration of war is still in force as far as I'm concerned. So we better keep it in force. This is the 8th of December, 2015. So let's go on from there. I gave a speech up at Whidbey Island in Washington, where right near where Robert Matthews was murdered, assassinated. And I'm going to play it for you. It's not too long. I read about a group who was up there the other day, and about the same number of people were there as when I gave this talk. So let's see if we can get it on the old board here. Now, this talk, I believe, was on the 20th anniversary of the death of Bob Matthews, if I'm not mistaken. Well, get your mic around here, Metzger. Yeah, I believe this was the 20th anniversary, if I'm not mistaken, of Robert Matthews. I'm not good at keeping time any more than I like to look in the mirror any day.
1% living lavishly and trying to bring back things, the glory of Greece and all this, by beating down whites, by importing blacks. You call that racist? That's not racist. That's economic. So they're all liars. So the conservatives use that. And the church is using the South. Slavery was unpopular until it became profitable. Once slavery becomes profitable, then all the churches were into slavery. And the liberals were right when they say this. They'll say this. This is true. Then all of a sudden they found a passage in the Bible where slavery is okay. Before they found a passage where it wasn't okay. You know, whatever. So the conservatives that we followed for many years, and I was shafted by them, and many of you have, we've spent a lot of money, a lot of heartache and tears thinking the answer was the conservative vote. They're not the answer. They're one of the biggest problems. Because without the conservative movement, there would be a radical movement. And then we could get something done. Then we wouldn't have the right left. See, then you have the right left against the racial struggle. And they both have good reasons. Plenty of right-wingers don't identify with racial separatists because they're economists. They're not racist. They're still operating their whole way of thinking on economics. Sometimes religion, sometimes a mixture of the two. And the left, of course, was taken over by the stepsisters of the same people at the expense of whites. And they yelled equality. They don't want equality. We got people around here who used to be in those movements. They want black superiority, race mixing. If you weren't into that, you were the enemy. So they weren't racist. So far we found out that down through history and recorded time, whether it be economic struggle, religious struggle, religious versus free thinking, conservative versus liberal, right, left, none of them were racial. Because racial was only a little thing tacked onto the back. And what do they use? Things like lying right up king. The guy that dreamed that one up, really, he was sharp. finally got rid of Divine Rider cable. We bring it down today. What do we have? The Divine Rider of Washington, D.C., because everybody knows God must endow these things. Christian churches, all I'm saying, most of them say, if things are going good, because God wants, you know, He's giving you a reward. If you're going bad, it's because you're not listening to your government, because God steals government. Divine Right of Kings versus the racial struggle. Half those people in the British royal family are kites. You can look at them and see it. They've been cross-mixing for hundreds of years. And people believe that there will always be a true this and true that on the throne of England. They better start doing a little anthropology and a little searching of the royal family. Because they've been mixing with the kites for a long time. I covered the Confederacy will rise again baloney. A lot of good people believe a lot of these things, but they're wrong. We don't want anything like it's been before to rise again. We want something new to rise again. A true, purely racial state. A real racial state built upon race with economics secondary in all cases. And that has never been before. Are you hardcore Germanites? It hasn't been in Germany. It wasn't there. You have a Germanic idea. You got an Aryan idea. But when it comes down to the wire, they were killing each other like mad. You know, let's kill all the Poles, get the Slavs, let's kill the Russians. Then the British, let's get the dirty Germans. The French, yeah, let's get them. They forgot all about racial camaraderie. Even a walking SS was sort of a limp-wristed, had limp-wristed support of the Third Reich towards the end. So don't tell me that any country in modern times in Europe wasn't great, great idea state. Too much economics were involved. If it had been a racial state, it wouldn't have been a war. If you live in a racial state, you'll do anything, go to any extreme almost, to stay away from a fratricidal war. If you won't go to those extremes to stay away from a fratricidal war, then you're not a racial state. And you're working for some other ideology, from conning the people. Political parties. Well, they got rid of Divine Right of Kings, and they had another political party. Political parties always represent economic interests. Now, if you'll read our papers like you should, and turn to John Jewell's article, instead of looking at the pictures and cartoons first, you'll find that we're trying to re-educate people. We're trying to show them that the great thing they thought happened, the American Revolution, happened for a little bit. It didn't last but a few months. And then the same British elitist economic system was being smashed on the American people. So we had a war between two economic deals. The War of 1812 was over the central bank issue. Thank God Aaron Burr blasted that damn Hamilton. Aaron Burr is a real hero of our race, as far as I'm concerned, because he was wanting to develop a white empire on this continent. And he blew that half jewel away. That was great. So you had the Whiskey Rebellion, the Jews in New York controlled the liquor industry, and white renegades. What did they do? Poor farmers. They're trying to eke out a living making booze. And who was riding up there to put him down and kill him? Washington. Good old George. Right up there. Go put him down. See, things aren't always as they seem in the history book. Yeah, Shane's Rebellion. You got all these things. Really upsurges of revolutionary activity in this country that they try to forget happened. This country's been on the verge of revolution, civil war, many times besides the civil war. So political parties, their platforms mean nothing. Even a third party hinge on the race issue. They just interviewed a populist leader up in the Northwest, and he made some deal, we're not into this. I mean, you know, we're just sort of, we believe in equality, but we don't believe anybody's above anybody. What the hell is this? That's what everybody else is. So you got the Fox, then you got the Libertarian Party. That's basically economic, too. In fact, they raise economics to the position of God, a religion. Free trade. Sure. Free trade. The other word for that is slave trade. They want to dispossess white workers, ship plants out of the country, open the borders, let everybody come in. That's libertarianism. The Democrats that I'd like to say at one time just was the more racial party in this country. A lot of people don't know that. But they lost it. Now we have one party. Oligarchist party. They're going nowhere. They have no answers. Because it's all controlled. It's all a show game. All the decisions have been made. Just waiting for the dummies to show up and vote for, you know, scum man A, scum man B, scum third party man. You know, they'll tell me what David Duke. Hell, I'd rather vote for Dukakis than Duke. And don't get into this big idea about a Jewess being the first lady. It don't make any difference. The game is fixed. People going out there going to vote for Bush because they old kitty might sleep in the White House. You've had so many kites running around that White House for 100 years. Let me tell you, go back to the early South when the Felix and Jews went to the South just after they got to New York. And they set up their businesses, and they set up their stores in the South, and they learned to say you all and everything, and they had slaves. And Seligman made friends with a young army lieutenant in good old South. Guess who his name was? U.S. Grant. Became a fast friend of Kite. 2 years later, the Seligman brothers moved to California, take advantage of the gold rush opportunities, shake down a boy. And a young captain was moved out of the South and his company of men, California, U.S. Grant. But at some same time, in the Civil War, where Lincoln was looking around, Seligman goes in and recommends U.S. Grant. And after the war, when the Seligmans were having a big party up on Long Island, and their guest of honor was U.S. Grant, the same night that Lincoln was shot. And I think that was the party. They got Johnson out of the way, they got U.S. Grant in, and the Jews made more money in this country than they ever made in the history of their being here since 1625. more millionaires and multimillionaires were created in the corrupt Grant administration. And Grant wanted to make the Seligmans. John Seligman, I think, no, not John, one of the Seligman, Secretary of State. But he was smart. Well, that'd be too obvious. And then, when the Seligman start building railroads, built the railroad right through Grant's farm. Gave a lot of money for that. What I'm telling you is fixed. And the Jews have been just as powerful in the South as they have been in the North. They waved the Confederate flag. A lot of good old Jew boys parade in good areas. And they're in the Christian churches all over the country and in the South. Okay. So political party. I hope you're making notes and writing questions down, because I don't want to just be talking to people like, you know, store dummies here. And after this is over, you're going to want to say, I want some questions. Because you need some education. I know a lot of this you don't know. And if you don't learn it, you're going to make the same mistake all over. Every time. Now, name for me the different forms of government that we have in the world today. Or we have. Can I have one form of government? Dictatorship, okay, that's fine. There is no real dictatorship. Every dictator has his group. If he didn't have his group, he wouldn't be the dictatorship. So it's not exactly one man rule. What's another? Well, I mean ones that are very clear.
Democratic?
Well, we've had others. Yeah, well, Democrat, you've got your Democratic form. You've got your 450 guys up there you can buy off. They're all in the club. Republic, same way. You've got X number of people, and they're making the rules. King. Okay, we have King. King always had his boys around to make sure everybody stayed in line. He didn't offer their head. So in reality, there is one thing you got to get through your head. There's only one form of government in the world that's ever been. And that's oligarchy. The rule by the few. That's all there is. All the rest of the stuff, they call it by different names. It's simply a charade. It's simply a something to take your mind off what's really happening. All systems are all in there. Once you understand that, then you say, well, then what is our answer? Then we need an oligarchy for us. Because that's all you're ever going to get. It can be a friendly oligarchy, racial, benevolent, all this. But it will be an oligarchy. So there's never been a true racial state. So what if people attack us? Keep saying, we want to go back. I don't want to go back to anything. There's nothing in the past that I want to go back to, looking for the racial state or the separatist state or whatever. It's not there. Only elements of it were there. And to try to somehow mess it around and make it look like something it wasn't, it's not being honest. That's one of the main points I wanted to make today. Because if you're going to fight, you've got to have a foundation to fight, and you've got to have an ideology that is rational, logical. You can't come up with a deal and say, I'm for the white race, but I want to blow the hell out of somebody in Europe. You can't come up and say, I'm for the white race, but I want a bigger armament in this country, more atomic bombs. Because they're going to fall on a lot of white people. You can't come up and say, I'm truly for the white race, and I want to kill off 200 million white Russians. I can tell whether a person's a real racist in 5 minutes. A real racist does not want to destroy the environment, because white people have to. breathe the air, drink the water. So those are some things to think about. So what do we? I'd like to jump on to organization. Good boys and bad boys. I've been studying organization for a long time, and I find it technically doesn't work. Because organization brings more organization. And the more organized you get, in many cases, the more problems. And you're really easier to be knocked off. Everybody sends all kinds of ideas. We have to have this, we got to have this, we'll put on a board, this will be the juror, this will be this guy, he'll run this, this, and this. Doesn't work. Because it ends up always white people having to use nothing but brute force on white people. And then white people resist, you got a civil war. People think, well, all we have to do is get enough organization and we can force them to do what we want them to do. No. It don't work that way. You have to have leadership and you have to have cooperation. Cooperation is what makes things work. Organization means just big shots. And a lot of people want to be searched because they don't want to work. Cooperation means people of talent, people of ability, people want to do things, cooperating with each other to reach a common goal. And then they sit down and decide on some kind of a decision-making policy. To have an oligarchic-type leadership. If you can't do that, you can't win. I know a lot of NS people, right-wing NS people, think all they have to do is we'll get strong enough, we'll get uniforms on, we'll kick the shit out of everybody I don't agree with. Well, they may have to do a little kicking, but that's not going to solve our problem. It's totality. It's not going to solve the problem. It has to be cooperation. We associate. If we decide we don't want to associate with you, you're gone. You don't want to associate with us, you're gone. It's okay, fine. People want to cooperate, associate with us. You think we got some good ideas? Great, be with us. You want to be with somebody else? Go. We don't even give you a membership card. You have to be able to pull yourself up and know that you're important, know that you have something to contribute, and then cooperate to make a bigger program work. That's the strongest system I've ever seen is cooperation. If you don't have it, you can only remain in power for a certain length of time. No matter how you gain the power. Absolute force is the worst. No control, that's not good either. But cooperation. I want to go back one thing. We've got a lot of problems with this movement by the religious versus the non-religious. Or at least the religious about a divine creator versus those who don't feel that way, whether it be Ojas or whatever they may be. In a white state, you're going to have to live together. You're not all going to agree. And any identity person says, we're going to take this over, and then anybody that doesn't do this is going to get it. It's got a problem with me. Because I have my own way of thinking. And you have your own way. On the other hand, we get the type to say, I got the whole ball whacked. And if you don't go my way and believe exactly what I preach, then we'll do you in. So right away, you're back right where you started. We got some guys like that in this country right now. But thankfully, we got a lot of the other kind of people. We got the Church of Creator. Now, a lot of things in the Church of Creator I believe in. There's a lot of things in nature's eternal religion and a lot of people, identity people agreed with. They even handed out literature. But Clapton doesn't want to play ball. Screw Clapton. People must understand he must cooperate. When Clapton becomes hard-nosed, my word, nobody's winning, I got the whole ball whacked, and you won't do it my way, I'm going to attack all these other people, he's out. Because he doesn't cooperate. And if someone on the other side that has a particular religious belief, and they say, boy, you don't do it this way. Boy, no, I don't want anybody showing up but white Christians. Get out of my face. They're putting something before their race. They're not racist. They are one thing or another with race tacked onto. In this case, it's egotism. When one man says, I have all the answers. And anybody who disagrees with me is wrong. I don't want to live in a white state like that. If I thought this would all come to a white state where we couldn't have our own beliefs, where one man couldn't go to Black Beach and strip down naked, and another man could go and pray all day in a church, I wouldn't want any part of it. Because the white race must be free to create. That's where our genius comes from. And as long as it doesn't attack the core of our race, as long as the religion is a racial religion, it does not push it to the point where I'm going to kill you because you don't believe in this religion. Or this man who says, well, I'm going to kill you if you don't believe in the whole ball of wax, then you're okay. But when you're like that, you're out. You'd be right back where you started. They'd be worse than the Jews. Or just as bad. Now another thing. I think we've got to get this Jew thing straightened out a little bit. You can't have it both ways. Half the people want to gas them all and not mix with them. They're mad because Jews all get together in their own little neighborhoods. They say, oh, see? See how they are? And then they say, sell rotten, they won't pay. And then the others say, they're messy. Boy, they're bad. You know? Come on, let's get one cook. Meyer Kahane said on TV the other night, he said, when I'm elected prime minister, I don't want any American aid. What's wrong with that? When Meyer Kahane says, we're just going to drive these other Semites out of here and have our own thing. They're all Semites anyhow. What's wrong? I don't care. The Jews, they say they want to go back. This new book says most of them don't. So why don't we call their bluff? Let's call their bluff. We want to help the Jews have Eli, the return. Let's get a program going and say one or two things. The biggest fear the Jews have is assimilation. Well, if you keep on going, in Denver, Colorado, they got a 75 to 80% assimilation rate marrying Christians, whites, Mexicans, or what. So the Jews are going wacko about it. We want to help you, Jews. We don't want you to lose your identity. Why we want to help you go back to Israel. So why not support Meyer Kahane? Fine! Take over. You can have all that Arab land you want. We don't care. We don't care anything about the Arabs. We're a white race. We don't care about the Palestinians. You know it. I hear some of these conservative races keep whining about the Palestinians, and a lot of times they use it just as a ploy. You're not fooling the Jews. You don't really care about the Palestinians. You know you don't care about the Palestinians. You want to do the same thing. We want to do the same thing to the Mexicans and all these other third world people that Kahane wants to do the Palestinians. So what's the problem? Let's be honest. Fine. Every Jew should get down on his knees and pray every day to that willing wall, pray off it, the greatest friend that world Jewry ever had. Adolf Hitler did more for world Jewry, not intending to, I'm sure, than anyone else has ever done. He had the boys working with the Zionists to set up the Jewish state. He wanted to get them out of the Jewish state. He wasn't really gassing them, at least not at the numbers they say. And then all the Jews that got out of Germany came here and made fortunes. They became more entrenched. They took over the Democrat Party during World War II. They took over Hollywood completely. Why would any Jew be mad at Hitler? They're stronger now than they've ever been. And why should they be mad at us? Because we want to help them go back. Take the Arabs. We don't care. They'll end up having to fight the Muslims anyhow. They're nuts. And the right wing who tried to get money off of them sucked up to them all those years. They didn't get anything. They're too stupid. They can't chew gum and skip rope. So let the Jews have it. Let's take care of a racial state. Eye on the racial state. Anything, no matter how it seems bizarre, to serve the racial state is good. Well, Eichmann went and met with the Zionists, didn't he? It's right in the book. Here is the head, one of the head Nazis making deals with the head Jews. That's not abnormal. There's nothing wrong with making deals with people if you both get what you want. I wrote Kahane a letter a few months ago, said right on. He's the only true Jew. He's the only one telling the truth. The rest of these Jews want to lie. They want it. They're so devious. But if you read this book, members of the tribe, they're all petrified of going back to Israel. The only reason they support it out of a conscience problem they have because they know they don't want to go back. Almost all the Jews that have in this book, they don't want nothing to do with Israel. And all through this book, the Jews fight each other, they're beating each other up in New York. The Hasidic Jews are in two or three different segments and they're killing each other. The Reformed Jews, the conservative Jews are getting together on the east side of Florida. The Reformed Jews getting on the west side. They can't stand each other. The greatest thing in the world for all the Jews in their homeland. That's just waiting. Better get them, but they play right in the Jews' hands. And we see racial papers coming out and saying, you know, it's almost like the public in this paper, oh my God, the whole world's going to come to the end if the caucus gets in. Hey, back, the biggest front man is playing for Jews. Supports all four candidates. Both presidential candidates and both five vice presidential candidates. Huh. There aren't anybody, I hope, in this room that's still interested in standing. Because I'd be ashamed if you were going down the road thinking that you were going to make some sense. I hope that the caucus is in. He sticks that pike in the White House, that room. Brings all his tight friends, the rabbis, has parties every night, tears up the place. Beautiful. I'm all for it. Yeah. And I hope they bring Jesse in there and they have a big, great big party and all this. Just let it all hang out. Let you still conserve. And let you still conserve it, you see my point. Work is far more dangerous in many ways than the hypocrisy and everything. And he's a big race mixer. He's head of the CIA. And the people who killed Bob Mack. And the people who put the order in jail on the Republic. So when I hear somebody say they're racist, say that they're going to vote for Bush, because they're afraid of pockets like that. And I think of every one of those guys sitting in the and every one of those people that have been murdered under this Republican administration. There's not near that many white races that have been jailed under the Democrats, no matter how rotten they are. If you look at the figures, you'll find that far less white men go to jail for racial things under the Democrats than under the Republicans. Because they have this liberal thing to uphold that you've got to have a break in court, a lot of times you do get a break. Okay. Now, I hope you've written down some questions. I want to recommend you read two books. One is very cheap. You get a paper-bound or hard-bound called Our Crown. You want to know about the Jews in the United States. Been coming here from 16 to 29 or something like that. This book tells you all about it, how Roosevelt was Jews and all of them. This is them, not us. We didn't write it. Very cheap, 50 cents for these bookstores. This one now, unless it comes out in paperback, is very expensive. It even marks down as $18. But you got to have that kind of material because the Israeli wrote the book. You want to find out how the Jews think and what they're doing. Read from a Jew and an Israeli, you get a tremendous job on the book. Those two books. Okay, how about some questions? I hope I said something that aroused your questions, but I know there's going to be somebody in here that does not go to the Bush. I know there's going to be somebody sure as hell that's going to go out there and vote. Or somebody that thinks David Duke, the fair-haired young guy, that boy, if he were only in there, we'd be in good shape. He's more degenerate than Bush. And if he ever had power over you, you better answer all of them, because you'd be in big trouble. Well, I go back to the early 70s in this fight. Well, the 60s, put back in 64, actually. But I ran into Duke in the about 74, 75, joined the KKK, worked with Duke. I was very close to Duke. I know how Duke thinks. I saw the way he operated. I saw his total disinterest for people around him. I know how he uses people. I know how he uses his own wife, slaves. I've seen him going to town. The first thing he comes to town is, well, fix me up. And was your wife, your grandmother, your daughter, or what? It was fair game to David Duke. I'm not a prude, but I believe life is possible that you don't mess around your own organization. You're going to mess around. I've seen him write a book telling black people how to kill white people, African Asoto, writing under a fictitious name. He wrote a purely pornographic book under a different name. I have some audio tapes at home that were secretly made when he tried to sell the entire Klan membership list to Bill Wilkinson, who was an agent for the FBI. For $35,000, and we called back and tried to mark it down to 20,000. I've seen so many things. Of course, Carl Hammond was with him for a long time, knows a lot more. I could go on and on. Man's character is flawed. Carl Hammond claims he's got a very private collection of interracial sex pictures that they discovered in his office while he was working for him. David Duke was into drugs to a degree. He used to come to Colorado pretending to be, he'd do a little skiing, but God, the name of Wilkins over there, I believe his name, Fred Wilkins, as I recall, was heavy in his speed and other narcotics, and Duke was there playing games. He lived off the Wilkins for several years. He actually hates working class white people, but he loves to be around rich, elite, and powerful people. And so that's just a nutshell. Many other people in this country know a lot more about him. But it's true, everything I say, and I can document what I say. That's because there's new people that come in, and they don't know, and he is articulate, he's charming, ladies all, you know, like David Duke, and he's constant. And also some of the other people who are still leaders in this country are playing games with him. And because people see them playing games with him, they say, well, he must be all right. When Willis Cardo, who's the head of Liberty Lobby, against David Duke to run on the populist ticket, hundreds of thousands of people across the country say, well, he must be all right. So, to give you an example of the phone is, a few years ago, David Duke decided to run for president while I was leader of the Klan. And I said, fine, we want a good white man to run for president. So I got Glenn Parker, who had experience organizing for the Wallace campaign back in the 60s, who knew all the ins and outs of getting people on the ballot. He went around and started putting all kinds of time, hours and hours and hours of work, to get people on the ballot in different states. And after he put in hundreds of hours of work, taken away from his own job, Duke called on the phone, I changed my mind. No meeting of leaders around the country to discuss his candidacy. But, oh, I changed my mind. And Parker, all the work he'd done, just went down to two. So this time, the same thing. Did he call for a national meeting for the other leaders in the country to talk over? No, because he knows they won't support him. So he got Ricardo, birds of a feather, and he got on this populist ticket. Now they've brought in over $250,000 the last I heard. And that's going to be, he's going to have a lot of fun with it. Some people still question me on this. Call on our phone machine, our update. You should say, it's actually our update machine, because it changes every 2 days. Some of them still call in, oh, how can you say these things about David Duke, but you're not for unity. Now, I will unify with you if I disagree on your tactics, even though I may be doing something a little different than you. I will unify with people I even disagree with in a general way, but I will not unify with cowardice, degeneracy, and crookedness. And when I find that, and you see me not associating with that particular person, leader, then you'll know that's the reason. It's got nothing to do with whether I believe going this way is the best, that way is the best, because I continually work with people around the country that we disagree on some things. But I'm not, in no way, shape, or form, deal with generous. Any other questions? Now, when I say degenerate, I mean get down boogie degenerate. I'm not talking about people drink too much, smoke too much, or chase a few girls. Half of those Christians knew what kind of man he was. Duke is not a Christian, but he's confident that he is.
that, you know, if you're not a Christian, just say you're not a Christian. Christians will respect you.
The
problem is that I don't like to do too much of this because it's just the enemy uses it more than our friends. I find that sometimes people are stupid, and there's a lot of them out there, no matter what proof you give, they just don't believe it. So I'm not going to ever use our papers in a direct big thing against other leaders. Now, for you, I understand they've done a little bit of that. But, fine, they do what they want to do. But I want to keep our paper on the high road. That's taken care of in the back room. The Duke was taken care of and will be betrayed. Did you see betrayed? Did you recognize Duke? Well, he was in there. He even looked a lot like him. He got in the end. You remember what the man who was supposed to have been Robert Matthews said to him when he came into the meeting up there in the woods and he was running for office? And he told him, "Officer, I have nothing to do with you. You're using the people. You're taking their money." That was David Duke. The people who wrote that script read our stuff. They know. And that was Robert Matthews telling David Duke he was a con. In the end, he blew him away. That's a warning. Other questions? Yes. I think elitism is probably a bad term. I think we should have natural leadership. People do like natural leadership, and they tend to follow it and go with it. But as the statement that I've said many times, strong people do not need a strong leader. Only weak people need a strong leader. And if you need too strong a leader, it means you're pretty weak. Because if that leader gets bumped off, you got nothing. So don't play the leadership syndrome too much. The leader has to be a little bit up there, but not too far. If you get too far up there, people get lazy. They don't do anything. They just come around, see the aisle. Because if the people aren't doing a job, you're just kidding yourself.
One more question, though. It really touches yourself about one of our friends down the 4-6. How about the Memphis? Because starting a fund in the war base to have the leaders of the war send in donations.
Well, I think it's better if you're not having fun because, believe it or not, over the years, some people have been accused of using funds. So I prefer to have the money sent right to them. There's no reason in the world an Aryan does not have enough intelligence to go down to the 7-Eleven, down to Bank of America, whoever, get a little money order for $5 or $10, put the name on, send it right in.
So the money has. All the leaders of the war band are here to hear you say what you say. You know what I mean?
Post office. That's your book. That's what we will do is put that in the paper for people to go down to the post office and get it. Send it to the guy. Now, if people don't have that much initiative, they're not going to send anything to the war fund. And then to be perfectly honest, I've been at those long enough to know that the war fund was started after a while. There are people that get mad at me and say, "Tom, you can get the war fund and buy a beer or something." So I want to go directly to the prison, or directly to Sherman, a letter directly to the prison. Better be right. I know they're not getting that one. If you're afraid to write a prison, you're in the wrong place. Really, I'm scared to be around anybody that doesn't have any more guts than that. Another question? You've got to have.
Well, I got to apologize for the quality of that tape. It was taped on a small portable tape machine. And we're going to try, because I hadn't noticed how bad it was before, we're going to try to put it through some equipment and clean it up, because I think it's an important tape. I think I covered just about every facet of the problem, and there may be a lot of people out there who disagree with this or that, and if they do, they can write to me and tell me. But that was right at the just a half a mile from the spot where Robert Matthews was killed, assassinated. Now, somewhere in my storage, I have a videotape that we took with a portable video recorder. I think just a couple of weeks after the assassination took place, we were able to sneak onto the property. Dennis Mahon and I did that, and John, my son, and we were there right on the embers, were hardly cold yet, you know, of the building that was burnt down, and we had to sneak on because there was a person or a family on the property, but not at that particular location, as I recall. And we had to take the video with the car lights shining on the debris. So anyhow, if I can dig that out someplace, we'll try to see that that gets out to people. There's a lot of stuff that needs to go up on YouTube if we can dig it all out too. So that's another thing. And we have volunteers that say they'll put it up there. So we just have to dig as much of it out as possible. The main thing I'd like to see is all the Race and Reason TV shows up there. But like I said, I can't do it because they've banned me from YouTube. Actually, I visited Whidbey Island and the site, I guess, three or four times. And then I promoted other people to start doing it, and that's what some are doing, and I appreciate that, giving tribute to Robert J. Matthews. And, of course, I knew and know Debbie Matthews very, very much. I've been in her home many times, and Bob Matthews' ashes are buried in her front yard under a beautiful apple tree, I believe it was, and I buried my wife Kathy's ashes right beside him. So that's part of the history, too, of Matthew's Ranch, beautiful ranch that Bob carved out up there near Medellin Falls. If you ever get a chance, you should drive on up there. It's really out of the way, but you can find Medellin Falls, and then it's not too far over to that property of Debbie Matthews, which, unfortunately, I haven't heard from her for a while, so I'm not exactly sure she's still at the same place. I hope so. I'd often wondered and hoped that the people in the Northwest that respect and revere Bob Matthews would put some kind of a large boulder or something with a plaque on it, at least at the front of her property, so that she didn't need to be overrun with tourists. But so far, that's never happened, and so we got a lot. You know, it's the old story. We got a lot of people talking, a lot of people on the internet, but when it comes down to lifting up a shovel or a pick or even donating to the project of somebody, it'd be simple to get a skip loader and bring a large, beautiful boulder in there and put it on the front of the property and then put a plaque on it so people could visit it. And but so, like I say, so far that hasn't happened, but it may happen someday. Okay, I'll be back with you tomorrow, which is the ninth, and the fires were still burning on Whidbey Island on the ninth, and the FBI was down at the bar celebrating. Oh yeah, these are miserable sons of bitches. They didn't leave the press even close to what was going on. Of course, they always use the excuse of safety. But no, it's a common tactic of the FBI and ATF to keep anybody, reporters or anybody else, back from the scene to where they can't see anything. And we saw that in Waco also, you know. So anyhow, it's on the night they were, federal dogs were celebrating all over the Northwest and probably clear back in Washington, just like they did after the one at well, just like they do at all the places, because we've had a whole lot of people murdered that were part of our struggle, but they, no one already ever talks about them anymore. That's why we've tried to put the burial spots on our website, so that every time we find someone's burial site in a different part of the country that hasn't been publicized, we'll put it up there so that in your traveling you can drop around and give respect to these people. Like Kathy Ainsworth was a real heroine of the race, a female lone wolf. And I'm not sure whether people are visiting her grave down there in Louisiana or Alabama, yeah, or not. But I know I did it once, and we put flowers on the grave. I hope that people are taking care of Richard Butler's grave and Robert Matthews' grave, because I've heard very little about that. I do know that I've got a crew to go back and a couple of times in the last few years and clean up Ben Klassen's grave. Unfortunately, the right wing so smeared Ben Klassen, which was really an insult, terrible. Even though he was a little hard to get along with, he was a good man and he did a lot of good things, and he gave you a new religion if you accept it. Now, you don't have to accept it all, because I don't, but the main core of what he started, which is not Christian, but straight racial, was great. So anyhow, I haven't heard about his grave being cleaned up lately, so we need more of that kind of stuff. If you want to struggle and if you want people to risk their lives and die for the race, you got to give them respect. You got to give them respect. 14:05, I'll be back tomorrow on Wotan's Day, David Lane's favorite day. Another guy who gave his life for this struggle and gets very little respect.
Now, have you seen them flying saucers, or some of them black helicopters flying down low and over my backyard recently? See them foreign troops in ninja suits leaving imprints of their combat boots in the meadow down near the neighbor next to me. Heard they're building concentration camps from the rate hike off our postage stamps to protect and defend their great democracy. Though my vote in the last election didn't quite match the same projection made by those beautiful talking heads on my TV. And when I called them to complain and I asked them to explain, they just said that it proves that you're not in the groove of the new majority.
Oops, I got a hair trigger on. I got these two mouses up on my desk, and I've got at least one of them is a hair trigger, and I happen to bump it. Sorry, I'll start that one over again. I never promised you a rose garden.
Now, have you seen them flying saucers, or some of them black helicopters flying down low and over my backyard recently? See them foreign troops in ninja suits leaving imprints of their combat boots in the meadow down near the neighbor next to me. Heard they're building concentration camps from the rate hike off our postage stamps to protect and defend their great democracy. Though my vote in the last election didn't quite match the same projection made by those beautiful talking heads on my TV. And when I called them to complain and I asked them to explain, They just said that it proves that you're not in the groove of the new majority. Yeah, sure. Well, just between you and me, can't you feel the conspiracy? Can't you sense the hypocrisy, as they call it, democracy? Well, it's a threat to your sanity, and not to mention your liberty. And it's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Now they've got microwaves and laser beams and rays that look inside your dreams and satellites that can see your DVDs. They got chips that fit inside your head that'll make you think they're thoughts instead, and drugs that'll make you do just as they please. And to make things even more serious, they got strains of new bacteria that are surely to cause some unknown new disease. And that's why we got fear and high anxiety and paranoid perplexity and the gradual loss of all our liberty. And as they try to bring us all down, they might leave us with a frown. They might even be the source of all the rumors in this town. Well, just between you and me, can't you feel the conspiracy? Can't you sense the hypocrisy, as they call it, democracy? Well, it's a threat to your sanity, and not to mention your liberty. And it's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Incoming phone calls to the Central Intelligence Agency. We'll just hope and pray someday they'll see that you and me are not the enemy, nor do we believe in cult theology. And as their police try to bust us, we'll keep trying to find some justice, though it's hidden behind a wall of masonry. We'll keep working out our salvation with the feeling of fear and trembling, hoping and praying someday the truth might set us all free. That just cause the media won't respond don't mean there's nothing going on. And brother, what will you do if there's something to all the words inside this song? Well, you can say that I'm wild-eyed, that all my fears are unjustified, or that I'm totally mystified by a man who's crucified. But just between you and me, what hung him up on that tree? It was all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Yeah, it's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Believe me.
Now, you can equate that last statement however you want, but just for me, that execution and hanging on a tree represents an allegory of Bob Matthews. You can attribute any way you want, but we know Bob Matthews existed. Okay?